Hello and welcome to SJumper Newsstand with Amanda Chin
and Adeline Huang.
And today we're going to be discussing Penelope from 2006.
Yep.
It's a rom-com, and first we're going to do a brief summary of
like
the film.
Like always.
You go.
So this brief summary is taken from Google. So Penelope is a 2006 romantic comedy slash fantasy movie by Mark Polanski. And it tells it's a tale about a modern day fairy tale whereby a young girl from a mysterious wealthy family must find true love in order to break a special curse called the Wilhern spell, which she inherits from her family.
And before we start, we'd like to put a disclaimer that we're not professional filmmakers and we're not film students. We're film lovers who happen to make films.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we'd like to warn y'all that this review contains spoilers. So please stop listening if you don't want spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Only listen if you've seen the film.
Or if you like watching films with spoilers. We're not gonna judge.
Yeah, I mean, that's me.
Okay, there's something wrong with you.
Okay, let's go ahead to segment one and talk about the look of the film.
Before that, though, this week is another one of my choices for the movie.
Yeah, because we do like an alternate kind of thing every week.
So for some reason, after researching further about the movie, I found out that Penelope actually received mixed reviews. It only has 54% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't actually know why.
It's a film for me. I watch it. Yeah, but I don't really have much thought about it.
I love Penelope.
Except for the ending.
Which we'll get to later. But I love Penelope. I really do. This is one of those, to me, it's one of those rom-coms that you watched as a kid and then you start appreciating more as you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get more into detail as to why I think that way later. So moving on, our very first segment, The Look. So I'm going to start because it is my choice.
You go.
One thing I noticed about Penelope is that it's one of the rare rom-coms that, to me, looks pretty. Amanda's making a face right now.
You can't see, but yeah.
Amanda's making a face right now. But genuinely, like, I think they did a good job. Like, the art directors, the set designers, the costume people, they did a really good job. Not to mention the color grading. I liked Penelope's like color palette. It looked really whimsical to me. And I feel like Penelope put in a lot more effort than, say, an Adam Sandler movie.
I agree with that. Because, then again, it's an American-British rom-com.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I feel like British people just put more thought into rom-coms.
Yeah.
Like, if you've seen Imagine Me and You and, like, all those, it has kind of, like, the same vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I think Saving Face has more look, like, look-wise.
I guess, really?
Mm-hmm.
Because compare Penelope and Saving Face.
Like,
I felt like Penelope had more character look-wise than Saving Face. To me, Saving Face just looked like another early 2000 rom-com. Penelope looked, like, take out the symmetry. It's a Wes Anderson movie.
No, I disagree with that. Because, like, I don't know. I kind of, the vibe that I got from watching the film was, like, the vibe that I got from, like, another Cinderella story with Selena Gomez.
Okay, I've never actually watched another Cinderella movie.
It was, like, my childhood obsession. but yeah, like, it gives off the same vibe to me. Like to me, like, it didn't come off as, like, a Wes Anderson vibe.
Well, in my eyes, the colors looked really pretty. And the set was also really pretty. I feel like they put in a lot of money into making the mansion look really appealing. It's like, I really, really appreciate the art directors in Penelope. Because if you look at Penelope's room, it just screams Penelope's personality. Her room has a lot of clutter, it has a lot of little trinkets, and it's just 100% Penelope. And in a lot of rom-coms, especially, like, you know, movies that were meant to be simple, our directors never put in that much thought into a character's bedroom. Mm-hmm. But they did in Penelope.
I mean, in a lot of films, I think they do put a lot of thought. Like, especially in rooms and stuff. I think that's where you're wrong. Like, I disagree with that. I think it's just... I think they just have, like, a certain vibe. Like, a certain vibe that you like about the film, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you like the film. Like, the look.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I've never... Watching rom-coms, I've never seen, like, a scene where characters are in the bedroom. And you look at the bedroom, and immediately... You know, without having to, you know, get to know, like...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You immediately, not, you look like, at the bedroom and you're like, oh, this must be Penelope's. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's not a lot of, like, oh, we need a designed bedroom.
Yeah. When I say that, sometimes they don't put it into a lot of thought. It's like, we want the bedroom to look nice. But they never think about how would this character, like, style their own bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
They did a wonderful job, I think, with Penelope. Considering that Penelope is the character, she doesn't get out of her house often. She spends a lot of time in her room. And it really does look like...
No, I think that's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they designed it, like...
Maybe is that why they put more thought into it?
Yeah, because she's like, oh, she spends her whole life in the bedroom.
That's what I give kudos to. Because not a lot of scenes did take place in Penelope's bedroom. The scenes took place in, like, other parts of the mansion. The Clubber Dilly pub, or just around the city. But every time there's a scene with Penelope's bedroom in it, it just looks really pretty to me.
You know what else is just really funny to me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that James McAvoy's character is always wearing a fedora.
Oh, really? Like,
the
yeah.
fedora fashion in early 2000s.
That is such an early 2000s thing. You mentioned fedora. I also want to talk about the costumes. I think they did a wonderful job. The costumes were so fun to me. They, like, especially Penelope's, because they were always colorful. It always showed how Penelope's personality always shows in her voice, in the way she dresses, the way she does her hair.
I think it's because, like, because it's also not just a rom-com. It's like rom-com fantasy. You get what I'm saying?
Because, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, with the usual rom-coms, it's just, like, real life.
Real life
situations. Like, meet cutes and, like, real life situations.
Uh-huh.
Whereas this is, like, more of, like, there's that fantasy twist to it.
Maybe that's why I'm drawn to it. Because I do like stories with a fantasy twist. I have a really wild imagination. So Penelope, wow, it really did it for me.
I actually didn't really pay much attention to the costumes and the set design.
Really? Like, I really like pretty, pretty things.
But I think the story is interesting. Like,
mm-hmm. Should we move on to plot and characters?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think Manda has a lot to say. Like Manda said, it just looked like another generic movie, but to me, it looked really pretty.
Yeah, and also James McAvoy looks like young Alex Turner from Arctic Monkeys.
See, I didn't realize about any of this.
I was
until
what? Is that Alex Turner? And I'm like, wait, no, that's not Alex Turner. That's James McAvoy.
I did not like the greasy hair that James McAvoy's character had throughout the movie. Like, bro, wash your hair, please. Come on. Like, why does it always look like you're always sweating?
Dude, he's a gambler. He probably just doesn't have money to pay for water.
Yeah, see, it makes sense then why his hair is always so fucking greasy.
But I don't know how the mom could believe that he's, like, a blue blood or something.
Well, he had a pretty decent, like, suit on, I guess. I don't know how do rich people think.
I mean, she did bring up that he keeps wearing the same suit.
Yeah, she did, but you know, the mom didn't even have time to, you know, think about is this guy rich or not. She just really wanted to break Penelope's spell, which we're gonna get into in our second segment, plot and characters.
Yeah, plot and characters.
Do you want to start with
Penelope?
Yeah, what do you think about Penelope?
I mean, I don't know that much
oh my God.
About Penelope. I'm just like, okay, she's a girl born into this rich family, but she's like, oh my God. It's like, oh my God, she has a pink, not pink, pig snout, and like she looks like a pig. But I'm like, yo, she doesn't even look that bad.
That's a thing that we have to discuss, actually. But Penelope as a character, you really have no thoughts, because I like Penelope's character.
I personally thought like she was supposed to look more ugly, you know, like more pig-like.
With the way people describe her, with the way the characters describe her in the movie, right? She looks completely fine.
She looked normal.
Yeah. Apart from the pig snout. See, that's one thing. That's one thing. You notice how, like...
But the pig snout didn't even really look like a pig snout.
Yeah, exactly.
It just looks like a normal nose.
I think it gives more depth into the story. The fact that, to our eyes, Penelope doesn't even look that bad. She doesn't even look that bad. It's like... Even in the part where she got exposed to the public didn't even care that much. They weren't scared of her like a lot of all these other boys are. It just goes to show that you surround yourself with the right people and you're going to be fine for the rest of your life. Because she doesn't look that bad. She wasn't horrendous or anything. She just had a unique nose. I never actually
thought about that.
Yeah.
That's a different perspective.
Yeah, she just had a different nose. But why is it that every single time this preppy rich entitled ass boys come over to her house, they keep on running away saying that, oh my God, she looks... It just shows, like, these are assholes.
That's kind of icky, man. Like, oh, the idea that you're born to please men. Like,
yeah, and can you imagine just being Penelope? Like, every single boy that sees her, they end up running out and jumping out of her mansion's window. How bad do you think that is? Like, how bad do you think that affected Penelope's self-esteem? I think it's
more also, like, the mom, how the mom raised her.
Of course.
Because, like, the mom raised her thinking that, okay...
Of course.
The only goal in life is for you to get married.
To break the curse. Because,
then again, it's also because she, like... the saving face aspect of like the upper like middle class or like upper class people.
See, the reason why I'm so in love with Penelope's character is that despite her upbringing, despite her mother, even though her mom is not telling her outright, the way her mom treats Penelope is like as if she's a monster being raised by that kind of mother. Mm. Having to go through so many matchmaking events where every single guy who sees her runs away, calls her a monster. But at the end of the day, she manages to be happy with herself.
I think you can see that.
That's from, like, strength.
From that one scene where Peter Dinklage character.
Lemon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He saw the picture and he's just like,
this she is doesn't, it? This is it. She doesn't look that bad.
Like, and then that guy, Edward, he's like, yeah, like, I forgot that she doesn't have fangs or something.
No, he said that she probably sucked the fangs in.
Oh, yeah.
Edward is such a disgusting character.
I'm like, why?
Yeah, it shows that Penelope is such a strong character. That it takes a lot of strength for you to grow up 25 years thinking that you're a monster. It's not even that you're ugly or not good looking. You're a monster. And then at the end of the day, finally... coming into terms with who you are
is what breaks a spell.
Yeah. All it took was for you to love yourself. It's the idea of how to love someone else. To love someone else, you need to first love yourself.
I kind of disagree with that saying, though.
Why?
Because, like, I don't know, like, it just seems very cheesy and it's very easy. It's like, okay, love yourself and then you can love someone else. But, like,
you think that it's...
not a lot of people can do that. And, like, that doesn't mean they can't love someone else, you know? I don't know, that saying is just pretty cheesy to me. But I do get where the film's coming from, like, the themes behind it. And, like, the fact that it talks about, like, stuff like, yeah, you can look ugly to some people, but doesn't mean you're ugly, you know? Because then again, it all boils down to your personality and who you are as a person inside, mm-hmm. and not how you look. Because you will find someone, just the fact that they're going to accept you or not.
I think the way you saw the story, it's like, it all depends on the right people. Is mm-hmm. that what, to me, when you're saying that, it sounds, when you're saying that, it sounds like that to me. It's like, you find the right person and you're perfect in their eyes. You know, I mean, that's what happens with like Penelope and Johnny's character.
Well, it's not only that. I think it's the fact that like there's also very high standards on how you need to look, especially when you're in a very upper class family, you know, like there's certain expectations put on you. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you need to act this way. You have to be this, mm-hmm. be that. Mm-hmm. But then when you look at people who are probably like not in the upper class hierarchy, like wealth wise, mm-hmm. they're just living their lives, you know? They don't really care about that shit.
I think that's a thing. But to me, the whole like saving face because you're in a certain like socioeconomic group mm-hmm. isn't the main takeaway from the story.
Really?
I still think that it's the whole like you need to love yourself first before you can love anyone else. Like, I was cut off before, but you say that it's cheesy, that it's cliche. I get that it's kind of cliche, but for a lot of people struggling with self-image, it's a really big thing. Because I heard a story from a close friend of mine, how mm-hmm. she was like, you know, I used to be really overweight. That's what she said. She's like, I just felt fat. I just felt ugly. And when I lost weight, I noticed that people were a lot friendlier to me. That's what she said. But what I didn't notice was that I was also friendlier to people because I had confidence after losing some weight. So the problem wasn't the fact that I was fat or unattractive. It was because I just didn't have enough confidence in myself. So I felt like the whole world was against me. All this time, the problem was me. It was because I was very reserved. I was super shy when I weight more. Mm-hmm. And it just...
What I disagree mm-hmm. about that saying is not the fact that you need to love yourself to love someone else. It's more like, I wish it was just like, you need to love yourself, period. You get what I'm saying?
Like, oh, of course.
Yeah, it's like...
Of course, of course.
That is like also like... I mean, it's true. That's what I got from the film too. Because like in the end, you're all alone, you know? You're in this world alone and you're not with someone else. And that's what I liked about the ending for the film.
We'll discuss
it later. But I'll discuss it later because uh-huh. It's our third segment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I liked that it was heading that way and how the curse was lifted. Mm-hmm. You know, not because she got married to someone who's like also in the upper class.
It was one of the really rare early 2000 rom-coms that really focused on the idea of loving yourself. Isn't the whole point of romantic comedies is to give people this idea that someone perfect is out there for you. Perfect in a sense that you're going to find the right person who's going to be able to accept you just the way you are. Sure, but couldn't that person be yourself?
Yeah,
exactly. And that's what I loved so much about Penelope. It's one of the, like, probably one of the only rom-coms that I think that it blatantly sends that message. It's the whole message of, like, loving yourself, just accepting who you are. The whole, like, you don't even need someone else to save yourself. It's all on you.
Well, I guess, yeah, that is also, like, part of the themes of the film, you know? But that also like the upper class thing that I said, like saving
face. Yeah, but I think
that is also another theme of the film. Like I don't necessarily think that there's only one theme that they're going for. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of underlying message that they're trying to hit with mm-hmm. the film. Mm-hmm.
speaking of saving face and the Richies, why don't we talk about the mom? You know, I'm a big fan of Catherine O'Hara. She's the actress who plays the mom's character. I'm a big fan. She plays in Schitt's Creek, and I really like Schitt's Creek.
Wait, I'm gonna look her up for a second.
God, I love Catherine O'Hara. I think that she's an amazing actress. The high-pitched voice.
Oh, she was in Home Alone?
Oh, yeah, she was the mother. She was the mother. Yeah.
She was in Nightmare Before Christmas.
Who did she voice? Oh, my Sally. God, she voiced Sally?
And she was in...
She was in Wyatt Earp. A lot. She has a Barbie. Really, like, what?
Barbie in a 12 Dancing
Princess. What? Oh, she was Rowena! I see it now.
And she was in Frank and Weenie.
See, Catherine O'Hara has such like an extensive portfolio under her belt.
She voices a lot of like animation.
She's an amazing character with a really unique voice. But let's talk about Catherine O'Hara and Penelope. The mother's character. How like she's basically the epitome of old money, like rich lady coming from old money. God, how hard she tried. How she was like, you know, there's this line where
at first I thought she was protecting Penelope, and then as it goes on, it's more like
she was protecting herself.
Protecting herself.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you think that you're doing the best thing for your kid. You're really doing the best thing
for
yourself.
Which a lot of parents do.
I have a story about that, actually. I was talking about my dad, and we were talking about, like, oh, New Zealand's, like, doing really good right now, you know, under Jacinda Ardern. And I was like, Dad, wouldn't it be a good idea if you just bought land in New Zealand and, like, retired there? And then he was like, yeah, you know, yeah, that's a really good idea. But do you know how hard it is for you to get PR in New Zealand right now? Because, you know, if you're old, all that you literally can't contribute anything to the country. So New Zealand doesn't want to give old people PR. What they're looking for is young people with specific talents. And one of the how do I word this? Like, New Zealand is looking for a lot of young doctors, basically, because they're running out of health professionals there. And I happen to know quite a lot of people working in the medical industry here in Indonesia. And then my dad was like, you know, one of your friends over there, like, I keep on telling your friends to just, you know, try and get PR in New Zealand, you know, study hard here, go to New Zealand, and you're going to get really good pay. You can send some money home, and New Zealand's a great place to live. I've been there. It's great. And then I was like, yeah, like, that's such a good idea, right? And then my dad was like, you know, like, they're such idiots. People working in the medical field here, like, they should go to New Zealand, get PR, become doctors there. And then my dad was like, do you know why your friends keep on not wanting to go to New Zealand? And I was like, why? Because they're idiots? And then he's like, well, yeah, that's one thing. But it's also the fact that their parents won't allow them. And then my dad was like, yeah, their parents just can't let them go. And for parents who just can't let their kids go, who spend so much time trying to keep their kids close to them, they're only thinking about themselves. They're never thinking about the kids. He said that, do you understand how a kid's, like, how a daughter's or a son's journey is still such a long way ahead for them? And for a parent who's already 40, 50 years old, you've only got a few years left under your belt. How much longer do you want to keep your kid? How much longer do you want to hinder your kid from doing great things just because you're scared that you're going to be left alone in a shitty country?
That's true. I mean, back when, like, I was 18, like 17, 18, like, when I was applying to colleges in the U.S., my mom initially didn't want me to go. And, like, she keeps on, like, saying that I should just go to school here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? And then, like, I kind of forced myself, like, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to apply. If I don't get in, then I'm just going to stay here. But if I do, you have to let me go. Mm-hmm. So I did. And I got in. And she cried.
Oh, dear God.
Because she didn't want me to go.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, like, definitely, there are other opportunities for me out there that I don't have here, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of, like, what her mom is doing, too.
You know? Penelope could have went out to the world at such an earlier age. She spent 25 years cooped up in that mansion.
Because her mom decided because of that her mom. She's too ugly to be out there.
Yeah. Her mom decided to do something that was more beneficial to herself. To not lose face, like, without ever understanding that Penelope's life is Penelope's.
And also the fact that she fucking created a fake funeral for Penelope.
That was fucked up. That was a really fucked up ass. Yeah, it was funny, but that was a really fucked up
part of the story. She got to that point of trying to, like, bury, quote-unquote, bury Penelope.
Yeah, yeah. That was a really funny, that was a really funny part of the movie. But yeah. But I also saw, like, nearing the end of the movie, remember where the mother was like, all this time, I could have broken the curse if only I had, you know, acted as a mother.
I believed in you.
Yeah, if only I had been a good mother. And like, ooh, thank God you realized that you were being a shitty mother all this time. Like, thank God.
And then she went ahead and said, maybe you could do a nose job.
Yeah, that's the irony behind it.
I was like, what?
You know, yeah. It just shows that at the end of the day, she's still the same character that she is. You know, vain and very, what's the English word for it? Gengsian.
Like, saving face?
Yeah, I guess saving face. Yeah, that's the phrase we'll use now.
And also, like, but I did like Peter Dinklage's character's...
Lemon?
Mm-hmm. Lemon's character arc, I guess.
You know, he starts from, like, the movie's villain, and then it turns out he's the anti-hero, and then it turns out he's actually a really good guy. I love that arc.
Yeah, he got the picture, and he's like, this is it?
Yeah, this is it?
What's such a big deal about
yeah,
this?
Yeah, bro. The real villain here is Edward.
Not Edward.
The mother?
The hierarchy.
I guess! Oh my God, you want to analyze it that way?
Like, the real villain is the idea of having to be someone that you're not, or like be this person when you're in
this upper
class.
I think you're wording it wrong. The real villain is expectations.
Oh, yeah. Expectations you get when you're in higher class society.
Charles Dickens in the house!
But yeah, I guess I do feel that too. I mean, not the upper class way, but more like being born into Chinese Indonesian families and having these expectations set upon you. Who you're gonna be, where you're gonna be, where you're gonna go to school, who you're gonna be friends with. Because a lot of things that I heard people say in the Chinese Indonesian community is that, okay, now, especially in like the middle class or upper middle class, you know, it's like, you have to choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends that you can use. And I'm like, I'm not gonna find friends who I can take advantage of. I'm gonna find friends that actually accept me for who I am and want to actually listen to whatever the fuck I'm saying. And I can be myself with. I'm not going to just go ahead and find like someone who's like a CEO of some business or entrepreneur and be like, I'm friends with you because I can take benefits from you. That's what I see a lot in the Chinese Indonesian community. And I think that's what's also happening in the upper class, higher, like, social economic, like, background in the film. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, you're upper class, you have to marry someone who's also in upper class.
Even without the curse.
Yeah, those expectations. You get what I'm saying?
But anyway, let's talk about Johnny.
You mean Alex Turner?
Stop. But yeah, I think both Johnny and Penelope's character development, I think they were both done really well. I see Johnny and Penelope as two sides of the same coin. They're basically...
I actually saw that too.
Right?
Like, just one scene.
Which scene?
Can't remember. Wait, let me remember. Oh, I think it was the chess scene.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, they're technically the same person. They're both stuck in this.
Well, what made you position. Feel that?
Because, like, Johnny's stuck in this, she's an outcast kind of way.
I guess, like, born first, into, like...
Yeah, because, like, at first I thought he was from, like, a rich family, but turns out he's not. But then he, in the end, he still does have that gambling problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Penelope, who's also stuck in this household that she doesn't really want to be in,
mm-hmm.
be a part of. She's just having all those expectations set upon her and her not being able to meet it because of the way she looks,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Both Penelope and Johnny were characters who were trying to escape from something, trying to break free, quote-unquote, Johnny's words. Johnny trying to... Don't you think that the reason why he's so obsessed with gambling is because he's just so fucking sick of being poor? He was born into a poor family, a plumber's son. Why? Why was he stuck in gambling? They just tried to analyze it.
Because, like, there's just one scene where he said that he writes love songs.
What? Uh-huh.
In the park or something? And I'm like...
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think he was just healing from a broken heart or someone, or grieving something.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I got from, like, that monologue that he did. Like, oh, he got hurt, bro.
The way I view it, the reason why Johnny got into gambling in the first place, the reason why he was trying, like, he just wouldn't give up. I think it's one thing when you go to gambling because you were hurt or because you have a broken heart, but it's another thing when you know that you're already losing so much money, but you're just not quitting. He's dubbed as the guy who can't quit. Like, those were Lemon's words. What about that guy playing at the same poker table as you, the guy who can't quit? I think there's more behind the whole gambling story.
Oh.
It's the fact that, you know, he's the son of a plumber. I think
I'm more of like the...
You're more of a romantic, romance. I guess.
No, because you know why? Guilty pleasure, me reading fan fictions.
Oh my god.
Like, oh my god. Fluffs. That I do every night.
But yeah, I just think that the reason, like, Johnny, first of all, by getting into gambling, he's just trying to break free from the chains of poverty, I guess. He's a plumber's son, doesn't have a lot under his belt. He likes to play the piano and he's pretty good at it. But how much does, like, a piano gig in a rinky-dink bar
But pays honestly, it still doesn't make night? Sense to me if that's your storyline. Because, like, he knows he's losing a lot of money with gambling. And it just doesn't make sense.
The thing with gambling is that you could win a shit ton of money with just a cent. Maybe that's what he was trying to chase for, because what else does he have?
But then if you do that, in the end, you're going to end up losing more money because you won and you're going to gamble it again. So it's a cycle.
Yo, gamblers don't think that way. Why do you think there's, like, an AA meeting for gamblers? You think this way because you don't gamble. But for people who are, like, obsessed with gambling, that's not how they think. They're like, just one more chip, like, lucky chip. Let me just bet one more time. Like, I might get lucky. I might get the jackpot.
Mm.
That's how they think.
For me, it's more like, it's my money. I don't want to spend it.
I mean, I don't know. What would you do if you were just left with one penny? What would you do with that penny? Put it in a bank? I'd go to the nearest casino. Buy a lottery ticket.
But it's just a penny. You can't buy anything with a penny.
Okay, $10. What are you going to do with $10?
Buy food.
Oh, I'd rather gamble.
But I don't think I would think Dude, in like a gambling how much... way. I don't I
yeah, that, think that's, that way. Okay, that's what you would think. But, like, for me, if I had, like, only literally $10 left on me, I'd buy a lottery ticket or some shit. Or gamble, maybe. Go to the nearest casino. I mean, I'm pretty good at poker. I'd probably gamble until I get, like, $50 or some shit.
$50. Or put it in the bank, get the bunga.
You know that it's not that much, right?
I know.
It's probably, like, only 3% of what you have in the bank. And then it's going to get cut by, like, admin fees.
But it's better than gambling, because gambling...
Bro, gambling, you can get... Money. You can get more money in a night if you're lucky.
but there are better players out there and not taking.
Well, that's not how I'm gonna think. I'm like, I have nothing to lose. I'd literally lost everything already. I only have $10 left. Might as well. I'm not gonna spend it on some McDonald's. That's how I would think. And I think that's how Johnny thought.
Maybe.
Because he literally has nothing to lose.
Or he been hurt, bro.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, and then with Penelope, she's just trying, you know, she's trying to escape literally from a cage her mother built for her.
Ew.
So yeah, that's why I say that both Johnny and Penelope are two sides of the same coin.
Well, I did think that way too, but my thought process is more like, oh, they're both outcasts.
Ah, you know, that's a different perspective.
It's a different perspective, but I get where you're coming from.
I think they're the same person. They relate to each other that way because they're both struggling with essentially the same thing.
And I get that. I also like, I think that's how they vibe, you know.
That's how they vibe.
Oh my God. That's actually but, Amanda word. Vibe. If you can like Amanda in three words, vibe, and then man, dude.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah. Aside from that, we're going to go back to talking about the film. Who else should we talk about? Should we talk about Edward?
Edward's a bitch. That's all I have to say.
Edward's just like that typical male character who's like, ew.
Yeah, there's not much depth to his character. He was just a joke. Like, a joke throughout the whole movie.
I think just he was just really, the embodiment really of annoying. Like, the embodiment of what?
A preppy white
like,
boy.
Yeah, like an upper class.
People who go, like, boys who go to the country club in polo shirts.
And play golf.
Yep.
What else? Can we talk about, like, Reese Witherspoon being in it? And I'm like, what?
Did you know that?
Reese Witherspoon?
Did you know that? Yeah, she's the producer. That's why she had a minor acting role in it. But I think she did a good job. I mean, she's just there as a side character. But I liked Annie's character.
High key wish she was the main character.
No, I think Christina Ricci did a really good job.
I don't know, because I feel like, you know, now this is making me want to watch Legally Blonde.
I should watch Legally Blonde when I get home. But come on, let's focus. Penelope.
Okay, Penelope was a great character. I loved Penelope and Johnny's, like, relationship, I guess.
So are we moving into the third segment now? Ending?
Oh, should we talk about Annie and the bartender?
The bartender didn't even have a lot of lines, but like, I think they vibed or some shit. I have a feeling the bartender is gay.
What? No, he looks straight.
What? But no, like, I liked Annie's character, but she literally did not propel the story forward at all. She was just there as a really good friend. She's like, just, you know, just any other normal side character. But the fact that she was Reese Witherspoon was what made it so great.
Yeah, I was like, wow, Reese Witherspoon.
I love Reese Witherspoon, by the way. Such an angel.
Have you seen Reese Witherspoon's daughter?
No.
They look exactly alike, right? Exactly alike.
That's what I heard. I haven't actually seen her picture, but... But
okay,
yeah.
Maybe let's talk a bit about the ending.
What do you think?
I think the ending's good. I think it's like a good conclusion to the film. Because I think in the end, you know how Penelope saved herself.
I love that.
And not the fact that Edward saved her. Like, she chose herself. She's like, okay, I'm going to focus on myself. Like, I don't care about this. So, yeah. But yeah, like, I think that's a powerful message, especially if you're a young kid watching rom-coms.
Definitely. It's the perfect rom-com for a little kid, you know?
Because, like, in every other rom-com, it's always this damsel in distress.
Always.
Like, you know, having this guy save her.
Let's take Adam Sandler movies, for example. Adam Sandler.
Boomer,
you know.
Films. It's like boomer rom-coms.
I mean, Adam Sandler.
You know what my mom's favorite film is?
What?
51st Dates with Adam Sandler in it and Drew Barrymore.
And it's not that bad.
It's not that bad, but still, you know, like.
Yeah. But, you know, you compare Drew Barrymore with Adam Sandler. But again, Drew Barrymore, throughout the whole film, she looked really pretty.
She is.
You don't have, literally, the main character being a girl with a pig snout. I think that was revolutionary. I think it did wonders to my self-esteem as a kid watching Penelope.
Definitely. Because, like, you don't see that a lot, especially in rom-coms.
It's beautiful.
You know, what I wish, like, is I wish there's more, like, there. I wish as a kid, like, there's more non-mainstream rom-coms out there that you can, like, find, like, mm-hmm. this film. Because, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, like, I just wish my childhood was better, was filled more than just, like, Twilight, or let's see, what other rom-coms have I seen? I was obsessed with.
I bet you
Sky High.
Oh, Sky High was great.
Sky High was good.
But is that a rom-com?
It's not.
It's more like a teen coming-of-age movie, isn't it?
What else? What other rom-coms?
What other rom-coms? I mean,
Legally Blonde.
That's a rom-com. Yeah, that was good. Legally Blonde was good. That's god tier. I love Legally Blonde.
Clueless.
I like Clueless, but okay, I love Cher. Okay,
Clueless is an adaptation of, what's that novel? I can't remember the novel. But recently they released another film called Emma, which was also based on the same story.
Oh, what?
And it's actually supposed to be a critique on upper class. Socioeconomic like background people. That you know how like she ended up with her stepbrother.
That was a bit problematic, I have to admit.
But yeah, that's what the initial writer was critiquing. Like keeping the money in the family, kind of thing.
Oh, interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, like they adapted it into. Clueless.
Clueless. Wow, never thought about it that way. But let's go back to Penelope. Let's focus on Penelope.
Sorry.
But yeah,
I mean, there's not a lot to talk about in Penelope. It's like it's a good film. You should watch it because it has good themes, like good underlying themes, and has good.
Of course it does.
And the ending's good, but I don't personally think it did as much as it did for you to me.
I can definitely see that.
but I'm not invalidating your opinions mm-hmm. on the film. Because mm-hmm. I think definitely, like, it is a good film, especially when you're, if you're six, like, we're born 1999, 2000, mm-hmm. and you're 6 or 7 years old, and you're watching this, and then there's this a character who doesn't rely on a man to save her.
Yeah.
Like, you definitely did something. Mm-hmm.
God.
Like, and I think it wraps up the film really nicely.
It did. I mean, to me, it had a really satisfying ending. Penelope had all aspects of, you know, what a typical rom-com would have, plus a really important message in the end. I think people don't realize how hard it is for us to first love ourselves, but when I say loving yourself, it's about accepting the fact that you have all these flaws that make you who you are. Loving yourself means also loving your flaws. And it's not an easy thing, especially for someone to admit out loud. I like me for who I am. It's not. It's really hard.
It's really hard. Like,
and to see,
as much as I want to say, like, yeah, I love myself, but at the same time, there's also a lot of things that I don't love about myself. Mm-hmm. And I guess that is a good thing for the film to give to deliver that message to young girls and young boys and
you know,
young non-binary people, like everyone.
Just young kids in general. You've got especially young girls, actually. You know how you grow up with, like, I don't know about you, but I grew up reading a lot of books, a lot of stories.
I did too.
And My bookshelf was just filled with stories about Cinderella, Snow White, princesses with, like, princesses that needed princes to save them.
Because that's, like, a lot of young girls encounter, especially as kids, you know, they're reading all these Barbie stories and all that.
Barbie wasn't all that bad. We should actually talk about that maybe next month.
But a lot of them focuses on this damsel in distress having to be saved by this man.
That's basically just a typical, you know, fairy tale. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Penelope, just like the plot that I read out in the beginning of this podcast, it's basically a classic, like a modern retelling of a classic fairy tale with a twist. Do you know what the twist was? The twist was having the girl save herself.
Which is good, especially in 2006.
In 2006. You see, to see a main character with a pig's snout saying on screen, "I like me just the way I am." Bitch, that's revolutionary for a lot of little girls out there. A lot of little girls who think that they're too chubby to be pretty. Like, dude, you're 5. You literally do not have to think about how chubby you are. I have a little cousin who's like 7 or 8 and going on a goddamn diet because all her aunts and uncles are always saying that she's fat.
I think I'm just lucky that I was a kid like who didn't really care about how I look. Because my parents didn't really teach me to care about how I look.
But a lot of other kids,
yeah, like,
you know.
I was just, like, lucky that way. But, like, I do acknowledge that a lot of people encounter that. And I think it's also because I'm gay. So I was just, like, I didn't really care. I'm like, whatever, you know. Because mm-hmm. I've always played with the guys. And I don't really play with a lot of the girls. So, yeah, that wasn't really, like, essential or big. As a kid, especially when you're talking about like watching fairy tales and all that, like, but yes, I do know a lot of girls who are like, oh my god, I need a diet, and they're like 10, dude. Like, what are you doing at 10? Like, why do you have to care about how you look? Even at 20, though, why do you have to care about how you look? It all depends
you
on
can
how
care,
you
but like,
but like, it depends on how much you are comfortable in yourself.
Yeah, you can care about how you look, but. To a certain extent, of course, but let's not go there. But like, we're talking about little kids, you know. Say this movie came out in 2006. So let's talk about like our generation when we were kids. Me personally, especially, like, and my little sister, our age difference isn't that much. It's like around 4 or 5 years. We were born into a really conservative family, with a mother who hates looking at us wear pants all the time, wear sneakers all the time. That's literally what my mom would talk about. She'd be like, why are you dressing like a boy? Like, take those pants off. I bought you all these pretty little skirts. Bro, I just want to be comfortable when I'm playing tag with my friends, bro. Like,
I do agree with that, though.
Yeah, it's like...
That is still, like, prevalent also in my life, like, having to wear dresses and all that. Like, being expected to wear dresses just because you're a girl.
Like I said, the real villain here is just, you know, expectations. Especially, you know...
Especially girls. To young girls and women.
Yeah. How many of you out there, as a young kid, like, have your mom, like, I don't know, tell you not to eat so much candy or else you're gonna gain weight? Or especially when you first got your period. I don't know about you, but that's what my mom said. When I got my period at... the age of 11. And the very first thing my mom told me was that from now on, you need to watch what you eat. You need to diet. Because, like, this is like the turning point of your life. You need to diet, you need to watch what you eat, or else you're gonna be fat for the rest of your life. Okay, like, not that I think about it. What's wrong with being fat?
Exactly.
I get that, like, a lot of people are gonna be like, no, but like being fat means that you're unhealthy and all that. Okay, bro, but like being depressed is also unhealthy.
I disagree with that though. Like, I disagree with that statement. Like, okay, if you're fat, you're immediately like unhealthy, all that. I disagree with that. Because in my opinion, like, well, yes, it is a fact if you're like obese, you know, but that's like a whole different thing that we're gonna talk about. But I'm just talking about being comfortable in your body, right?
Yeah, we're not glorifying, like, we're not glorifying big bodies or being overweight.
We're just asking that people be comfortable in their bodies.
And don't be rude.
And, like, okay.
Don't be rude to little kids.
You can't help it to, like, if you're way, like, you're more on the heavier side. Like, you can't help that. What if it's just part of you? Like, it's just part of your genes. Because people have different bodies. Not everyone can have a super skinny body.
Well, some people are, you know, blessed with that.
Yeah, but not everyone is like that. And being realistic, everyone has different kinds of bodies. It's nice to be loving yourself for who you are instead of trying to be something that you're not.
It's a lot more than just weight. Like, people are just so rude. People make people comments, are, especially to little especially girls. Especially Indonesians. Especially to little girls. Especially people Indonesians, every year.
Dude. Like, I hate it. Okay, they would meet someone, and the first thing they say is like, oh my god, you got fatter, or something
like that.
You
gained weight, not really, you got fatter.
You gained weight, or like, oh, you lost weight.
Bro, it's
like,
not your business.
Dude, it's not, one, it's not your business, and two, that is not a greeting. It's fucking rude.
But especially in Penelope's context. You know how Penelope was released, and I think they marketed it more towards like younger girls. Like, you shouldn't be saying those kind of things to younger girls. It is not it's not healthy. People it's not can, good like, for the development girls, of these little like, girls.
They could develop eating disorders in the future, especially like as they're growing up into like teenagers.
Yeah,
it's very unhealthy.
It's like the simplest things. Their weight, their height, the way their nose is shaped, how small their eyes are.
Their boobs,
how small their boobs are, or how they don't have an ass.
Or how big their boobs
10-year-olds and 11-year-olds do not have to care about how big their boobs or their ass are. All they need to care about is just living a healthy and happy life. So to see Penelope, literally, a pig-snouted girl, say that she loves herself, that sends a really good message to all the young viewers out there.
It does, and I agree with that.
Which is why I really wanted to talk about Penelope today. It's one of the really rare rom-coms that, I wouldn't say brave. That's not considered brave, but I guess they did like the bare minimum of showing little girls that really, it doesn't matter how you look. It really does not.
It doesn't.
What's important is for you to just be happy.
And also find the right people.
Yeah. But before finding the right people, you need to first be happy with yourself.
And then, like, if you are happy with yourself, you know, everything else is just, the rest is just confetti.
Yeah. The very first step to happiness is just liking you for who you are.
And there is
nothing wrong with you.
A very hard self journey. To do, like, it's very hard.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
And Penelope is a strong character. You can be Penelope. A message for all the young listeners out there.
You can be the next Penelope.
Oh my god!
If you just try. But try really hard. Focus on yourself.
Overall, I think Penelope's an amazing movie. In, like, rating it as a rom-com, I'm gonna give it and 8.5 out of 10.
I would give it a 6 out of 10.
Why 6?
Because I do like the messages, mm-hmm. but I don't know. It just didn't hit me that hard. Mm. Maybe I don't relate to it as much.
I get it.
But overall, like, I like the message. I like how they executed it. But also, but I don't know. Like, I just didn't really like the look, I guess, and how, like, it just didn't really hit me that much emotionally, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand where it's coming from and, like, all the messages, like, behind it and the themes, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I give it an 8.5.
But I would say
I really recommend everyone to watch Penelope. Like, showing your little sister, your
good.
Little niece, your daughters.
Or maybe, you know what? No, I think romance fantasy is just not my thing.
I get that.
You know
I get
yeah.
that.
It's a yeah, very certain
yeah,
niche.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very certain niche. You like things that are angsty and realistic.
Yeah, I like very angsty
I
things.
Like romance fantasy. Like, I love things with a fantasy twist. I spent a lot of, like, my childhood just writing up fairy tales.
Okay,
so
I like
Penelope
Harry
really
Potter,
did it for me.
But I think I like Harry Potter because it's all just fantasy, you know? You get what I'm saying?
The romance is, like, just a little bit of
yeah,
spice.
Yeah, it's, like, it's not romance fantasy.
What other fantasy would you say you like, apart from Harry Potter? I don't think we can even consider, like, I don't think we can even put Harry Potter into this because it's god tier. Like, everyone loves Harry Potter.
Percy Jackson.
Ah, you were into that. I was not.
I was. I was really into that. So it's, like, it's either fantasy for me or, like, not at all, you know, like...
I get that. Yeah.
I don't think I like the mix between real life and fantasy.
I love mixing real life with a little bit of fantasy. Immaculate. That's, like, one of my favorite genres ever. Which
I
is
figured
why,
out
like,
why I didn't like the film.
Which is why, like, I was super into... Do you know that book series called the immortal life of Nicholas Flamel or some shit like that.
No.
Yeah, see? Not a lot of people read it. You know, but that's literally a mix of like reality and fantasy. Oh my god, I love those kind of things.
What's that series? A series of unfortunate events?
Is that like a mix of reality and
fantasy? No, it's fantasy.
What?
It's like a mix of fantasy and real life, but also it's more fantasy. It's leaning more to fantasy.
Ah. What about The Addams Family?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but I feel like that would be something I could get off of, you know?
Yeah, I guess maybe it's not weird enough for me.
Fantasy and reality mixed together.
Oh God, I guess it's because like the fantasy part is very small.
It's just the fact that she has a pig snout.
I wish there was more.
I get that. I get like why you would say that. But like anyway, would you still recommend our listeners to watch Penelope? Yeah,
it's a good watch. It's a light watch.
Very light watch. Definitely.
It's like you watch it, but for me, I guess I wouldn't rewatch it, you know. But like
I have rewatched Penelope like 5 times.
I've rewatched Imagine Me and You a lot of times. If I'm down, you know, because of the Bly Manor incident.
Hey, all right.
I'd be watching Imagine Me and You. Or Saving Face.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so I think that's all we have.
I think that's all we have for today. Week. Yeah.
And next week, you'll be hearing back from us talking about 500 Days of Summer.
Manda's choice this time. And
it's more angsty.
I have a feeling. And it's also our very last episode on rom-coms because it is the last week of November.
And then we'll be moving on to December with films that have snow.
Yeah. We didn't want to stick to like Hallmark winter films. We're going to be reviewing films that have snow in it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Because that's more fun.
Yeah, because it's December.
Even though there's no snow in Jakarta.
This country is so humid.
Dude, I wish I was in LA. So it's like, I want to layer.
Don't be off. But
yeah,
let's not hold our listeners right like for too long.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.